Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
I have to know, what is it like to be the last black president?
Seriously? What's it like for this to be the last time you ever talked to a president?
Sad, just sad. Sad that our presidency has degenerated to this level. I got to tell you. You know, I got to tell you this. You're not going to believe what I'm about to tell you. I watched that degenerate Galifianakis. And you know something? I had sympathy for the president for the first time in his administration. Now, don't get me wrong. He hasn't passed a single policy that I agree with. But I saw a president who was set up by his own staff, probably because they should all be fired. They are absolutely hysterical and out of control. I was not happy. Let me start from the top. I watched the president being set up by this. I can't use the word on radio that I would use if I were in a coffee shop with you. This useless idiot comedian that says to him, I have to know, what is it like to be the last black president? And I watched Obama's eyes, and he said, seriously? What's it like for this to be the last time you ever talk to a president? Frankly, I was shocked by the question. It's racist. It was a punch below the belt. And what if Obama had come on my show after I said, here are the 10 questions I'd like to ask the president that O'Reilly didn't ask? I would never ask him a setup question like that. Ever in a million years. But I'm going to ask you something. What would the Congressional Black Caucus have said if Michael Savage had asked President Obama the same question? Mr. Obama, what's it like to be the last black president? Do you think that you'd hear the end of it? So why are they giving this thing, Galifianakis, whatever, this souvlaki with eyes? Souvlaki with eyes, a sturgeon in a pair of pants, a sturgeon with a beard. Why are they giving the sturgeon with a beard a pass? Why? Because he's a member of good standing of the degenerate commie left? Don't call me on that. I'm just showing you how far this country has fallen. And there's a couple of stories within that story. One, it was not rehearsed, as I thought yesterday. The president was humiliated by this stinker. Humiliated. He went on trying to push Obamacare to the drug addicts, the potheads and drug addicts who watch these shows, figuring the idiots would sign up so they could support the illegal aliens and the oldsters. And he said, all right, so the guy's not going to ask me some stupid question like that. And he asked it of him. And I was embarrassed for the president and for the presidency. And I'm no fan of President Obama because he is so far on the other side of the spectrum that I'm shocked he gets away with it. Nevertheless, I felt bad for him. You wouldn't believe it, would you? I'm actually a compassionate guy. I felt bad for President Obama having to put up with the stinker. Now, I don't know what another guy would have said. You know, what would another president have said? You don't ask a question like that unless you inherently are a racist. What's it like to be the last black president? Not one word out of the big mouths, you know, on the chorus there on the left. All right, let's move on. You know, I have anything to say about it that I can't say better than you. Here's an exclusive. McCain to lead a delegation to the Ukraine. Can you believe this? Where does this man get the demonic energy to be on every television show available and then fly off to Ukraine to push a war? The Arizona senator is returning to Kiev. I don't think for the pickles. He's returning to Kiev not for the herring, but he's returning to lead a large bipartisan delegation of warmongers to Ukraine to meet with illegitimate government leaders as the Russian occupation of Crimea rolls along and Crimeans prepare to vote in a referendum on seceding from Kiev. McCain spokesmouth Brian Rogers told the Daily Beast the following. Well, what's the point of reading it? The group includes some of the worst louts in the history of the U.S. Senate. Richard Durbin, who called our soldiers Nazis. John Barrasso. John Hoeven. Hoeven? He should be John Hoeven. Ron Johnson. Christopher Murphy, warmonger from Connecticut. Jeff Flake, and Sheldon Whitehouse. Now, why are they going over there? What are they going to do in Ukraine? Oh, okay, that's one story. There's another story I know you're going to call on. But before I move on to the Israel story, which today passed the law meant to draft the ultra-Orthodox, which I visited on Monday. I was roundly condemned for it by the ultra-Orthodox, who I normally suspect like my show if they even listen to it. I doubt that they listen, but if they do, they like the show because I quote from the Bible and they know where I'm coming from. But they ripped me apart on Monday. Well, today the Israeli lawmakers passed a law today meant to draft ultra-Orthodox Jews into the military. This is a reform drive that has generated mass protests by the ultra-religious community in Israel and in America. Now, what I objected to on Monday on the Savage Nation was the protest in America down by, on Wall Street by the ultra-Orthodox. I was saying, what are they marching here for? Why don't they go march in Tel Aviv? What do we have to do with being drafted in Israel? That started the discussion. And so now they're going to conscript the ultra-Orthodox at the heart of in Israel. This is a big deal. Why? Because the ultra-Orthodox don't serve in the military. And I have to level a few more statements on this show right now. Are you ready for this? The stark difference in the society of Israel is well known in Israel. Older religious men often do not work and sit and collect welfare stipends while continuing to study the Torah and the Talmud full-time. In other words, they're on welfare. So in addition to being on welfare and not working, the ultra-Orthodox, who make up about 8% of Israel's 8 million citizens, have been allowed largely since the founding of Israel to avoid military service in order to pursue religious studies. Most other Jewish men perform 3 years of compulsory military service. Now, the ultra-Orthos insist that their young men serve the nation through prayer and study, thus preserving Jewish learning and heritage. But these exemptions from military service have enraged secular and modern Orthodox Israelis who say the ultra-Orthodox are not doing their fair share. Proponents of the law which passed today say enlisting the ultra-Orthodox into the military will lead to their further integration into the workforce. Now, the vote passed today in Israel 67-1 in the 120-member Knesset. Opposition lawmakers, all 52 of them, were absent, boycotting the vote entirely to protest what they say are strong-arm tactics by the ruling coalition. Now, if you want to comment on this on either way on it, you can, or any other topic, if you wish. There are many other subjects that I want to talk about. In San Francisco, we had a fire last night. Strangely to me, coming a day after a local media reported that many fire people were making over $300,000 a year for sitting on their behinds, collecting checks and doing nothing. I mean, it's very odd. The fire occurred a day after the report. The fire chief, Mary Jo White, they set up a command center during the fire yesterday, I think two blocks away from the fire. She gave interview after interview in her perfectly white uniform. There wasn't so much as a smudge on it. Who was climbing the ladders? Who was fighting the fire? They were in a command post. The fire girls were in the command post, enjoying their hot chocolates with white uniforms on, without so much as a smudge on the helmet, telling us how they were backfiring and protecting and we're doing protection and this. The fire burnt the building to the ground. The whole building went down to the ground like a cinder, a new construction. A new construction went down to the ground so the fire girls could sit in the back and collect $300,000 a year. Unbelievable. You talk about corruption. You have no idea what corruption is until you lived in San Francisco and seen what these unions have done to this city. No, you have no idea. Organized crime couldn't do a greater damage to a city than what the unions are doing to this city. And the taxpayers, what schmucks, what morons they are in this city. All they're concerned about is whether you're racist or homophobic. That's it. That's the litmus test. No one raises a voice over anything. Everyone's been neutralized. Feinstein was in the news yesterday. We spent an hour on it. Opened up her big yapper over the fact that the CIA looked into her staffer's computers. She went berserk. Constitution this, Bill of Rights that, violated this law, violated that law. Methinks thou doth protesteth too much, Lady Di. But as you well know, in San Francisco, there's no newspapers. There's no opposition party. This is what happens when you have a one-party system and no media whatsoever. None. No media whatsoever. This is what happens. Eventually, it winds up like Detroit. Gutted. What do you want to talk about? I've given you five topics. I haven't even got warmed up yet. What a night I had out here. We had wind coming out of the north. 30, 40 knot winds blowing against my house. I was up all night listening to a canvas awning whacking against my bedroom door. I couldn't sleep all night. I got to get up 6, 5 in the morning, dark out, pitch black, get dressed, flashlight, close the awning with the dog. Oh, what a night. It was beautiful. No, I love it. I happen to like, I like stormy weather. Right now the waves are churning up at 3 to 5 feet. White caps splashing up against my house. No, really, it's very exciting to see this. It happens. It's because of global warming, you see. It's not that it occurs every year at exactly this time. Every year in March, the winds come like this. I've lived here long enough to tell you that the bay has not retreated or risen in depth by so much as a centimeter in the 40 years I've lived here. It's exactly the same as it's always been. But don't tell that to the people in the global warming racket, because the global warming mafia is so powerful right now, and it's stolen more money than the five families in New York ever stole in the history of organized crime. But because they do it with a PhD, it's considered kosher. You see, that's how it works. You know, every year the same thing happens. I remember when I was a boy, because my birthday's in March, they say March comes in like a lion and goes out like a lamb. I remember that. And you're in New York or the East Coast, you're sitting, oh, snowing, must be global. March comes in like a lion and goes out like a lamb. We've known since colonial times, since the Farmer's Almanac was written, that you'd have snow and weather in the beginning of March, and then by the end of March, it's already springtime. But you forgot that. What were you studying? How to put a condom on a cucumber? That's what you're studying instead of science? By the way, here are the top contributors to Senator John McCain's campaigns. Oh, yeah, we got the list. Because I was asking, why is he going over Ukraine? Why is he on every television show screaming for war and attacking? Where does he, what is he doing? What motivates this man? Can he stay home with Cindy? Can't he just stay home with the wife? Can he? Can't he just pop some pills and shut up for a while? Can't somebody put this man on medication or take him off medication? Can someone adjust John McCain's meds? That's what I want to know. Because he is foaming, by the way. He's drooling and foaming. And he's not even got he doesn't have the excuse of hard candy like Pelosi. I mean, this one is drooling. You ever watch when he talks? He's drooling. He drools now. He's on the verge of a total and complete mental breakdown, drooling on every statement. When they shoot the tongue to the left and draw in the saliva, you know they're telling you a whopper. No, there are certain signals when someone's telling you a whopper. When they talk and throw the tongue to one side or the other and suck in a lot of liquid, a lot of saliva, it means they threw a big whopper at you. Contributor, Merrill Lynch, top contributors to Senator John McCain. I have the whole list here. You want to hear it? I'll give it to you later. As you can expect, some of the contributors produce some of the weaponry that will be used in a war. Okay, so you want to talk about the ultra-Orthodox draft issue? You want to talk about John McCain? We could do that. What happened to the missing airplane? Does this give you confidence in our intelligence agencies? Here's an intelligence agency who knows if you've burped. The NSA knows if you've gone to the orthodontist. They know whether you dropped your children off at the soccer field. They can follow you in real time, fake time, your time, his time, her time. They're sitting there doing nothing, drinking cappuccinos in some basement somewhere in Washington or Tallahassee, God knows, or in Las Vegas, with drones watching every American citizen around the clock, and they don't know where the airplane is. How's that for an intelligence agency? Where is the airplane? What a mystery. Actually, it's the biggest mystery of my lifetime. I don't know of a bigger mystery. But the society is so drugged that they're not even asking, how could this happen? No one, you should be screaming to the morons who run this country, hey, idiots, you owe us an answer. It's your problem. Yes, you owe us an answer. Somehow you know everything else going on the planet. You know that we should bomb Russia. You know that the Ukraine are our friends all of a sudden. Everything you know, but you don't know where a missing airplane is? the size of a golf course? I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com. It is the Savage Nation, the most skeptical show in radio history. So we're talking about a number of topics. I know many of you are shocked that I had compassion for the president when I saw him stunned by what this thing, this creature, this lox with eyes said to him. What's it like to be the last black president? I mean, you know, Mel Gibson has been blacklisted in L.A., in Hollywood, for 10 years because of anti-Semitic comments. How come this lox with eyes, Galifianakis, is not blacklisted for what he did to the president? I felt bad for the president. It's below the belt. And I don't like the president's policies. I've never heard anything as low in my life. Never. Now, what if he had come on my show, the president, and to answer questions? And I set him up with a question like that. Do you think the loudmouths who are normally there throwing brickbats at the slightest statement from conservatives like myself would have anything to say? So what do they give this lox with eyes a pass for? This lox with a beard a pass for? I don't know. But, you know, it indicates a few things to me. Now, that's not what you want to talk about. I know. Most of you don't even know what I'm talking about. You'd rather talk about the fire girls in San Francisco making $300,000 a year. Yeah, good. We're coming back from the lanes. Yeah, we're set up there. Look how white our uniforms are here. We're two blocks away. We got a command center here. We got the hot chocolate. We got the water. You know, who's climbing the ladders? In the mural in Harlem, a building blew up. Two buildings collapsed. Gas explosion in New York. People flying out of the window. Blast felt blocks away. Gas thing. Meanwhile, the hysterics already saying a drone did it. The lunatics in the internet world. A gas explosion, like it's happened forever. Already drones did it. You hear? Already a drone was nearby, so that's what did it. What out? See, you start believing the internet, you know what you wind up with? Scrambled eggs between your ears. Without bacon, please. And hold the locks.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
ASFO. Oh, I don't know what's wrong with me, but I'm enjoying the show more than I have in all of my 20 years. Something's wrong. I feel like I started all over again, and I feel like I'm in my first months of radio. Something's wrong. Because the stories are so interesting. The politics are so off the can of America. It's as though we've been invaded by a foreign army, and they installed a tin pot dictator, and all we can do is complain about it. And now a missing plane, and we're supposed to believe our intelligence agencies are in charge of everything. They don't know where it is. It's astounding to me. Astounding to me. All right, the girls and I were coming back from the lanes. We caught the fire on the way back. We're clubbing that night. We went over to the house. We donned our uniforms. We set up a command post three blocks away. We got catered. We got it catered over there. You know, we make $300,000 a year. We build it to the department. And we sent the morons up on the ladders. What could be better? All right, let's go back to the big topic. Menachem. Menachem on WABC. Menachem, what's on your mind?
The Orthodox, Jewish Orthodox soldiers are the best soldiers and most motivated soldiers IDF ever have. But
wait. So why don't these guys want to serve?
I tell you very simply, because the way how the law structures and the way how the IDF actually operates, the Orthodox people look at the IDF as a tool of indoctrinating the young Jewish soldiers into socialist, communist, Marxist mentality, which is actually the core of the Israel. Israel is basically a very socialist country.
Yeah, I know. Israel's a socialist nation. It was founded as a socialist nation.
That's right.
Which is very important. It was one vote that passed Israel as a state in the UN, and it was Russia, because Israel was a socialist nation closely aligned with the Russian communist ideology. People don't remember that. And for many years, it was nothing but a socialist welfare state. Now, having said that, I think your argument is interesting. You're saying that the Orthodox don't solely object to serving in the military for religious reasons. It's for social reasons. Isn't that what you're saying?
It's ideological reason here. You remember what happened with the Nicholas I in Russia when he actually used army as a way of converting Jewish children into the Christianity, right, in the early 1800s, right?
Yes, I do know about forced conscription, yes.
Very well. And it worked very in the way he was successful, the Nicholas I. And we remember about that very, very clearly.
But Menachem, you can't argue that it would be harmful for religious men to learn how to defend themselves and their families and their nation.
No. I think every religious person needs to learn how to defend himself, defend his family. And I personally think we will have to go to the army and take away those guns and don't let those leftists basically, in Israel, army is used to do the pogroms, basically put their own citizens out of their houses.
Yes, I remember what went on when they threw them out. I remember what Ariel Sharon did to the residents of Gaza, to his eternal shame. I remember.
He sung as a hero,
He was a great hero. Sharon was one of the great generals of the last century. I mean, I've studied what he did by encircling the Egyptian Sixth Army. He was a great general, but he became a monster as the prime minister.
He is the first guy who used, he was basically first general.
All right, so I don't understand where you're coming from. You're saying two things. You're saying Orthodox men should defend themselves, should learn how to use a gun, and then you're saying they shouldn't serve in the military. So how does this get resolved?
Well, that's very hard to, we have to negotiate, and the government has to come forward. If they have to...
Well, let me ask you something. Haven't they tried to make an all-religious brigade?
Oh, they do have it. They do have it, the brigade.
Where the commander of the brigade is religious, the soldiers are religious, the food, the customs, the habits are all based on the deep rules of the religion, the 613 commandments. I understand all of that, but there's another aspect of religious Jews that I don't think the average listener in America understands, which is that in times of crises, all of the rules of the religion can be put aside. You know that, don't you?
That's right.
See, I know all of these things. People don't know I know this much about it. In other words, you can't hide behind your religion and say, I can't do it because it's Saturday. I mean, if the Arabs start bombing Tel Aviv, God forbid, on a Saturday, you throw down your prayer book and you pick up your gun and you join your unit to defend your city. The Bible even says that that's allowed. The Talmud says that's allowed. So I understand that. Or in a time when a person's sick, they don't have to follow the Sabbath rules. I understand that as well. If they have to go to a hospital, one of their relatives can drive them in a car, even though they're not permitted to drive on a Sabbath. I understand all of that. So in a time of national emergency, I believe there's justification for religious people to fight. Thanks for the call. See, people don't know what I know. I've been around long enough to have studied and been involved with many people. I was very, very deeply attracted to Lubavitch people for a very long time, and then I became very unattracted to them for a very short time. Not because there's anything wrong with them. It's just a different way of life, that's all. And I came to learn a lot, some good, some bad, some are different, like all people. All people, there's good and there's bad and then the ugly. In all people on the planet, there's the good, the bad, and the ugly. So let's not make this into a generic statement that religious Jews are this, religious Jews are that. That would be ridiculous, and it's wrong. There are other topics, many, many other topics. But if you want to talk on that topic, okay. Kim on WJR, go ahead, please.
Hi, Michael. I can't believe I'm talking to my guru. I'm very sick right now, and I'm a shut-in today, but it'd be all right, because if I was outside, I'd be up to my ass in the white stuff. Anyway,
It's snowing in Detroit right now?
Oh, yeah, big time. We had it big time.
Well, that'll cut down on the crime, won't it? I mean, the crack dealers tend to stay in when it's cold out.
Anyway, I wanted to correct you on something, if I may.
Go ahead. If I'm a guru, I can take it.
This Obama interview was all canned, Michael.
You know, but, Kim, I thought so, but when I watched the tape,
I
was shocked by what Obama looked like when this locks with eyes said to him, what's it like to be the last black president? I was shocked because Obama rolled backwards on it. It was so insulting, it was beyond belief.
No, he's a very good actor. It was all planned.
Oh, come on. You really think that they staged his outrage?
he has to touch with the millennials. They got to think he's cool in order to sell Obamacare to them.
I don't know. I know there's a part of me that has compassion for people, no matter whether they're my political opponents or not. I have a compassionate streak in me. So you saw it another way. Did you actually watch the interview, Kim?
Yes, on YouTube.
All right. Then fair enough. You have a difference of opinion, and that's what makes for America. That's all. 855-407-2822. 855-4... Where's the airplane? I want to know where the airplane is. I want to know why the geniuses who spy on us don't know anything. High-flying satellites, they can see a filling that you just got when you come away from the dentist. They could see the bling on a rap star's mouth as he's leaving a club 3 in the morning. It shows up on a satellite, you know, 4 miles in the sky. They don't know where an airplane is? How is that possible? My dog is even asking me at night, Dad, where's the plane? How could we live in a world that is so filled with such lies? Lies, because I believe they're in control of everything. So it just shows you what terrorists can do to us whenever they want it, right? Now, let's reverse engineer this in our heads. If a plane can go off the grid, disappear, and not a trace of it be found, why, that would indicate that a plane could also appear out of nowhere with its transponders off and maybe with some advanced anti-radar configurations and do whatever it wants to us? Okay, whatever. I mean, yeah, that's really engendering of faith in our government, isn't it? Where is the airplane? Where are the missing paintings in San Francisco? Why has there been no FBI investigation of the 731 pieces of fine art that have been given out as gifts under the guise of lending them by the Fine Arts Museum? Why is there no investigation? Why has it not appeared in the San Francisco Chronicle? Because it's a wholly owned subsidiary of the Feinstein clan. The Feinstein Pelosi clan owns the newspaper business. They don't own it specifically, but they control it. Control it as sure as I'm sitting here. Where are the missing paintings? I'm asking questions that have real meaning. There's not a city in America that would let 750 or 40 pieces of fine art go missing without calling in a federal investigation. And yet here, nothing. Where's the U.S. attorney? What's he looking into? Someone who was homophobic in a McDonald's? 855-407-2822. Here's a great caller coming. Line 7, Michael on WABC. Go ahead, Michael.
Hi, Michael. Nice talking to you. First time caller. I'm kind of nervous.
If you were a commander in the Israeli army, don't be nervous with me. I'm only a talk show host.
I was in 1973 Yom Kippur War, and I spent some time in the army. To be honest with you, we it was a status quo. We never needed the religious people, and we always.
But why, Michael? Why did you never need them?
Because to be honest with you, right now what's going on in Israel, it's all political. It's too expensive to have the religious people, we want this. Them stay in shul and pray for us. And believe it or not, there's a lot of people, I think the majority of the people in Israel, they don't want the religious people, and it's all political.
You're saying that you don't even want them in the military because it's more expensive than giving them welfare to study in the yeshiva?
It is expensive. It is expensive, and they know it. It's all Lapid doing. It's all Lapid.
Michael, why don't the religious people of Israel learn how to shoot a gun and defend their yeshivas? Why don't they learn weapons training?
There's some of us, and I'm not the only one. They really believe that they do a lot more for us by praying. They protect us. I do.
Okay. So let me ask you: do you believe that's true?
When I saw in '67,
But Michael, do you believe that the prayer protects Israel?
Absolutely, 100%. With that. Doubt in my mind.
Okay, so how many people do you need to make this prayer protect Israel? Is there a finite number, or let's say, can one do it? Or is there a number? Is 1,000, 50,000, 500? In other words, there's a number that needs to pray to God, or isn't one man's prayer as good as the next man's? Is there a number that needs to pray? Why can't the chief rabbi pray for Israel and let the others serve?
Because that's their belief.
Very good, but it's nice to have a belief where the other guy is paying for your prayers, for your leisure to pray, and also protecting you. You know, here's the thing that bothers me, is that it seems to me that the Holocaust has not yet dawned on certain people. What if every Jew had had a gun in the Poland, Lithuania, the Ukraine? Everyone had a gun. Don't you think that the outcome of the Holocaust might have been different?
I don't think so.
Well, I was told by a very religious psychiatrist, a very religious Jewish psychiatrist, who also happened to be super orthodox, that had every Jew in Germany had a gun, a pistol. And when the Gestapo came for them, I told the story the other day, they killed one or two Gestapo agents in the hallways of the German apartment buildings. The Holocaust would have been stopped in its tracks because the Germans were very orderly people and they didn't want to upset the middle class of Germany with bloodshed. They didn't want them even to know what was going on.
So I ask my other question. How come the Russian army lost so many people? With all the
Say that again. The Russians, by the way, lost 400,000 men just in the last phase of the war taking Berlin. People don't know that. 400,000 Russians died in the last weeks of the war to take Berlin. 400,000 Russian men died. People don't know this. They think that Hitler was defeated, you know, without a cost. Michael, thank you. I'm very glad I have so many devout listeners to the show. 855-400-72. Is that my number? I don't know anymore. I'm slipping back to another phone, another show. Yeah, that's my number. 855-400-7282. Okay, we can move on. Where's the airplane? We don't have to just do this thing. Here are the top contributors to Senator John McCain. Contributor Merrill Lynch, 435,000. Citigroup, 397,000. J.P. Morgan, 395K. AT&T, 365K. Goldman Sachs, 358K. Morgan Stanley, 313K. U.S. government, 264,000. Here are the rest of the top contributors to Senator John McCain. UBS, 248,000. Pinnacle West Capital, 229K. Credit Suisse, 223K. Price Waterhouse, 205K. Bank of America, 204K. Wachovia, 198K. FedEx Corp, 196K, U.S. Army, 188K, Tig McCain, Gibson, Dunn and Crutcher, 166K, General Electric, 160K, Verizon Communications, 153K. And these are the contributors to McCain's career life. I wish that they would contribute to my show by advertising here. Why do they boycott my show and yet give money to this warmonger? Why doesn't Merrill Lynch, Citigroup, J.P. Morgan, AT&T, Goldman Sachs, Morgan Stanley, UBS, U.S. Army, Credit Suisse, FedEx, General Electric, Emerson Electric, why don't they advertise on my show? What, I'm a patriot, so they don't advertise, but they give money to this warmonger? I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
It is pump and grind time on the Savage Nation, 12:55 p.m. A little early for that, my God. Society's sex-driven, day and night, 24-7, like rabbits in heat. The only species on the earth that thinks it's in heat 24-7. Every other animal is a period of heat that it goes into. The rest of the day they could do without it. They'd rather eat lettuce. They don't look at the female hair. Just give them lettuce and a carrot and he's happy. But the male in America, oh, every minute, he's ready to go. Give him the Viagra and a toupee, and he's ready. He's our Johnny on the spot. No wonder people are sick. No animal species is in heat 24-7. You didn't learn that in high school, probably. Look at Hollywood. They're randy like minks in heat 24-7 from the drugs and the overstimulation of a certain gland in the brain. I really want to get into the show. It's a shame I have to waste my time talking about subjects at all when I'd rather have fun. No, I can't. Because if I have too much fun, the next thing I know is I'll have a television show and the president will want to be on it to sell health care. Well, I'll be back in the next hour to take on all these topics, including the global warming lie. Yeah, global warming lie. We still live in a carbon dioxide-starved world. Did you know that atmospheric levels 15 times greater existed during the Cambrian period 500 million years ago without known adverse effects? You didn't know that. You didn't hear it from Al Corleone, huh?
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
560 KSFO. Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Rolling into hour number two of the Savage Nation. All the geniuses in the intelligence community, the military industrial complex don't know where their plane is. We're supposed to have faith now in the U.S. government. How would they not know where the plane is? How could we live in a country where so many people who claim to be such experts in this field, I don't claim to be an expert in missing planes or in planes in general. How could they not know where it is? It's actually the greatest mystery of my life. It is greater than Al Capone's vault, which launched the career of a complete and total faker, as you well know. I mean, if you open Al Capone's vault and there's nothing in there but a fake mustache, the same thing as this. So what would you like to talk about? Well, you know, the topic we're going to talk about, it's come back again to haunt us, which is Israel today passed a law making it law that Orthodox Jewish men serve in the draft. Now, this was a huge story the other day on this show. It was a little bit of a story in the last hour. I'm going to try to put it to rest now because we have a rabbi who is going to speak regarding this subject. His name is Yaakov Spivak. Rabbi, welcome to the Savage Nation. So what's your opinion on this issue?
Well, first of all, happy Purim to you, Dr. Savage. And let me just say to you that, first of all, I don't want to start talking about the fact that there's no empirical evidence that the Israeli army needs the ultra-Orthodox. There isn't. There is no evidence that they need them.
Well, that's a fallacious argument, though. That's irrelevant.
Well, all right. So let me get...
It's an irrelevant argument because you could say that the secular mother would like her son to stay home, too, and do what he wants, go to work. You say, well, there's no reason he needs to be in the military either. So, in other words, what's fair is fair. I would say spread it out. So what's the actual reason that you believe Orthodox should be denied, should not have to serve?
First of all, Israel is not like any other country. Israel, to have a country just of soldiers, is not necessary. Israel is a country where we have belief and faith, and it's a country of religion. It is the center of religious belief for all of the major religions.
And okay, let me pause on each statement. Rabbi, you've got to give me my chance to answer you. I'm not a yeshiva student who has to sit at your feet. Let me explain something. With that argument, the founding fathers, who were all religious Christians, could have said, we don't want to serve in the American Revolution either. We want to stay home and read the Bible. They didn't do that.
Well, the fact of the matter is, they didn't. The fact that they didn't do it doesn't mean that it's right. It's just the fact that they didn't.
But if they had stayed home and read the King James Version of the New Testament, there'd be no America today. Someone had to defend the country. And in the beginnings of this country, religious Christians defended the country. And all I have to do is remind you, take a look at the sea of crosses in military cemeteries across America. You can't say all of these people were not religious. I don't buy the argument that because they're Jewish, they have a right to study the Torah and not do anything else. I, as a secular individual, I can't understand the argument.
Okay. The fact of the matter is that you don't understand what Israel is. Israel is not a country like any other country. It is a country that from which God directly gave His influence through the Holy Temple. It is a country that has religious, should have a certain group of religious people who don't have to go out into the horrors of war. Let me quote you, Dr. Savage. Let me quote you.
I need to answer what you just said. Then I'd be happy to answer. Listen to anything you have to say. That's why we invited you on the show.
Then I'm honored.
It's not an honor. I think that a discussion like this is super important because I don't want the anti-Semites to think that this is about bashing Jews or making a mockery of religious people, because it's the opposite of that. I'm trying to come to an understanding of this because there are millions of Jews in Israel who are not religious, who are very offended by the fact that the religious don't serve, and they're very angry by this. And you can't say all of them are not Jewish just because they're not ultra-Orthodox.
All right. I'm not saying that. What I was going to say was to quote you. You said that 400, about war for a second, you said that 400,000 Russian soldiers died in the capture of Berlin. I listened to your show. Am I right? Do I remember correctly?
I did say that. That I believe to be a correct fact.
Okay. There's one fact you left out, which I'm pretty sure you know, and I'm no fan of the Germans at that time. The other side of that coin, Dr. Savage, is that if you take the number of German women who were raped, that was over 2 million. That's also an effect, a fact. So war is one of the ugliest, horrible things in the world. So much so that the Bible, and you want the Torah's view on it, the Torah, the Bible allows, gives certain accommodations to a human, to a Jewish soldier when he's on the battlefield. If you want me to go into specifics, I will.
Whoa, what do you mean an accommodation? Where does it say in the Old Testament that a Jew shouldn't serve in the military?
It doesn't say that he shouldn't serve, but it says what I'm trying to say is the horror of war allows...
Well, we all know it's a horror. That's why we should try to resist it. But wouldn't it be more horrible if no men were willing to pick up arms in Israel and defend the country? Can you imagine the Holocaust that would occur if the Persians were allowed to sweep across your sacred land?
Michael, in 1967, the war wasn't won because of on-the-ground troops. It was won because the Israeli Air Force knocked out the Egyptian Air Force in the first few hours of the war. It had nothing to do with the amount of people that picked up arms, and you know that.
But again, it's a fallacious argument.
Maybe
what you say may be true, but it has nothing to do with the fact that some men did pick up arms. There were men in tanks, for example, fighting in the Sinai Desert.
Yes.
Just as in other wars, there were Israelis who fought in tanks on the Golan Heights.
That's true.
You can't say that you didn't need men in tanks and airplanes and on the ground. You do need men.
And that same Golan Heights, okay, the horrors of that war were in 73, that the Syrians, when they killed Israeli soldiers, I'm sorry to get graphic with your audience, stuffed the testicles of dead Israeli soldiers into their mouth, okay?
I'm aware what animals the enemy is. I'm aware of the degeneracy of their lack of civilization and culture, as opposed to the Jewish soldier, who is prohibited from acting in that manner by their religious precepts and by their common decency. I'm aware of the fact that the enemies of the Jewish people are the lowest vermin on the planet. I'm aware of all of this, which is why every Jew should have a 22.
That's right. Well, you're quoting Kahana now, but the fact is that what happens here in these cases is you want to take a nice Yiddish maidel, a nice Jewish girl, and put her in the atmosphere of the army, okay? The army atmosphere is a horror. Even as good as the Israeli army is, living in that kind of life, the Torah allows a soldier on the battlefield, and I'll cite your chapter and verse if you want, when he sees a woman on the battlefield, he's allowed to take her under normal peacetime circumstances. He's not. Why is he allowed to take her, Dr. Savage? Because...
Wait, who's allowed to take... What do you mean by take her?
The Torah says that a soldier, a Jewish soldier in the time of battle... All right? Look it up. It's called Parshat Ki Tetzeh. Ask your friends. They'll show it to you. A soldier, during the time of battle, is allowed to take a woman on the battlefield that he was not allowed to take during peacetime. Why?
What do you mean by you mean have sex with her?
Yes.
You mean any woman he could just grab and rape?
You're putting it in, there are certain conditions, but he's allowed certain accommodations that he's not ordinarily allowed.
But what if she doesn't want to cohabit with him? Does she have any say in it?
If she is with the enemy, if she is part of the enemy, the Torah allows that. Let me tell you why, okay? Because of the fact that the Torah recognizes that when a soldier is on such a level, he is down to what your anthropologist friends would call a primordial, basic human survival.
In other words, he has to fight like an animal to beat the animals that want to kill him and his family.
Exactly.
And that's exactly why I think the Orthodox need to get out of the heavens and come down to earth and realize that they're surrounded by people who would reduce them to worms, turn them into fertilizer. How could they not understand the danger that they live in?
No, In other words, bring all these nice people, these guys who work in the service of the Lord, who are pious, who do wonderful things, who do mitzvahs, who do great things, who are not lazy, and I take tremendous exception to that being said in your program. They're the hardest working people. Hasidim, the hardest. I'm living in Muncie, New York. You want to see hard working people who work in labor there?
Well, now we're changing the subject now. No one said that the Jewish people are not hard working, but you're changing the argument.
No.
What about all of the ministers in the U.S. military, let's go back and start World War II, who laid down their lives in the name of God, who ministered to men who were dying and then got killed themselves. You can't say that they should have been absolved from the requirement to minister to the Christian soldiers. I don't understand the argument.
Well, let me give you a little disclosure here. I'm the dean of a rabbinical school, and I ordain rabbis who I encourage to go out and be chaplains in the United States Army. Okay, and the United States.
Well, wait a minute. So you're not making any sense to me, Rabbi. If you do such a thing and you say it's kosher for them to go out and be a minister, a rabbi rather, in the U.S. Army, doesn't it mean they will be on the battlefield?
Yes.
So how does that not apply in Israel?
The difference between being on a battlefield for the United States, and being on a battlefield in a country, in a holy country like Israel that needs people to be pious and to sit and study Torah all day. Yes, that's what the Jewish state, that's what the Torah is about. That's why religion came from those areas. What do you want to do? Take them all, throw Uzis in their hands and make them into battlefield animals that we have to have? Is that what we...
No, I would like to see the Jewish men of Israel defend themselves so that they can make certain that the future generations of Jews will continue to produce a sufficient number of holy men.
So what about, in other words, make them all in the army. When somebody comes there, there are no pious people set examples to be a light unto the nation. Everybody's got a Uzi. Everybody's got a...
I didn't say, you're making an all or nothing argument, Rabbi. Why can't a man be religious and pious and also learn how to fire a weapon? I don't understand the incompatibility.
When I was 15 years ago, 45% of the Israeli army, the officers' corps, were Orthodox Jews. 45% 15 years ago. The Orthodox Jews do serve, but what I'm saying is...
No, I know they do. That's what I don't understand. Then why do the Satmar Hasid not want to serve?
So why, just like there are exceptions in the army in America, students of religion, why can't there be an exception to a certain group of people?
Let me break it down to a... You're a far more learned man than I with regard to the Holy Scriptures, so let me ask you a question. What does the what does the Talmud say a religious Jew is supposed to do when an enemy breaks into his home and wants to do him and his family harm? Is he supposed to pray? What is he supposed to do?
It says exactly this, and I'll quote you four words in the holy language. He who comes to slay you, preempt him and slay him first.
Well, you go right to my argument then. So why don't you teach your young men to slay them first?
It's true.
But Rabbi, I'm asking a very basic and logical question. The scriptures themselves confirm what I'm saying, because I know the scripture. Because George Orwell took that and changed it to, he took it from the Jewish scriptures, obviously, when he said, if a man comes to plant a bomb in your mother's house, plant one in his mother's house first. Basically, you're saying the same thing in Hebrew, which is beautiful. So, okay, everything goes back to religious teachings, which I greatly respect. It is the foundation of civilization itself. I get that. But why is it incompatible with survival?
Why can't there be a certain group of people who represent the best in mankind of peace and love, who don't have to pick up an arms? Why can't there be a group of people who say that they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks? Why can't we have, say, go to Israel and say, this is a country where we have an army and where we have soldiers, and yet, look, these are the people, these are special people who serve God every day and whose spirituality precludes them from having to get down to a situation where 2 million women are raped because of a battle.
What do you mean? You're saying that all men are raping women now in the military? I don't understand. You're jumping to something else.
Well, I never said...
Let me quote Ecclesiastes, where it is written, there is a time for everything, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. So the Bible itself understood reality. The ancient Israelites were very warlike, weren't they?
You're quoting Ecclesiastes. The Hebrew for what you just said is lakolz man v'yet lechol chavetz tachas hashamayim. There is time for everything. Yes, there's a time for war.
Well, what I'm saying is the ancient Israelites were great warriors. And in fact, the warrior culture was inherent in the ancient Israelite.
But the rabbis of many leading rabbis have decided that the culture that exists in the army, where a girl's virginity is going to last maybe 6 months, and
right, now that's another story, and that's a very important one. Would you be willing, perhaps, to stay on as we go to our commercial break and discuss that fear and what might be done about that? Because it's a very important one. It's the same fear as to sending a Jewish girl to Yale University or Harvard, where she becomes a prostitute within 3 days. I'll be right back.
Okay.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com. All right, the news story headline is Israel passes law meant to draft ultra-Orthodox. It happened today. It is a newsworthy discussion. And I must tell you that the discussion we've been having on the Savage Nation with the distinguished Rabbi Yaakov Spivak, who is an educated man on levels that most of us can never comprehend with regard to ancient scriptures, and I think it's very decent of him to want to convince me and my audience of his position. You're never going to hear this discussion on any other radio show or any television show in America. And I certainly appreciate the rabbis coming on the show. We can't develop what we're going to do now. We'll do it in the next segment. But, Rabbi, welcome back to the program.
Thank you very much, Michael. I appreciate it.
Rabbi, you had said that one of the greatest fears amongst the ultra-religious is what will happen to the young religious girls in the secular, degenerate, social world of the military. And I had said at the end, in a sarcastic way, the same exact problem occurs in America when religious girls, whether they be Jewish or other, are not permitted to even live off campus in housing on their own. They force them to live in the social cesspool of the co-ed dormitory where the children fornicate like mink in heat. And this is an example of what you are talking about. Is that right?
It is, and unfortunately I've had too many parents come to me with broken hearts.
And that's what they do to the girls in order to degenerate them and break them from their religion. And this is what America does. So you're saying the same argument holds in the military in Israel. We'll be back. I hope the rabbi can be with us. It's the Savage Nation. Be here if you know.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
A time of war, a time of peace, a time you may embrace, a time to refrain.
Welcome back to the Savage Nation. It's 34 minutes after the hour. I think this is kind of radio history in many ways. It's a topic that needs to be discussed. I'm not sure I will change anyone's mind, nor do I think my mind will be changed on the subject. Nor is the object of a discussion such as this to defeat the other man as much as it is to have a conversation. Conversation means with verse. We are using words to try to come to a conclusion or arrive at a decision in our own minds. It's not my job to convert anyone to an idea. And so we go back to the primary question, which is today's news. Israel passed a law meant to draft the ultra-Orthodox. There's a huge controversy both in Israel and now in America because of the vote in Israel. And because in America there was a huge protest of 50,000 ultra-Orthodox in New York City the other day. And the subject goes well beyond this radio show and well beyond this time frame because it touches on so many other social issues. What I heard in the beginnings of this discussion with my guest, Rabbi Yaakov Spivak, is that it's not solely that they don't want to fight, it's that they don't want to be turned into liberal, social degenerates in the military, which is what they fear will happen to their children once they are drafted into the army. It's a very interesting point of view. Rabbi Yaakov Spivak, welcome back to the Savage Nation.
Thank you, Dr. Savage. I'd just like to add one point to that. For all we're praising about the military, King David wanted to build the Holy Temple. And God tells him, the story he asked for it is in Samuel, but God tells him in Chronicles, in the book of Chronicles, you will not build the Holy Temple, your son. Why will you, David, not build the Holy Temple? Because in Hebrew, harbe damim shafachta, you spilled too much blood. And we can canonize and say how wonderful it is, the purity of arms, and talk as much as we want about that, Michael, but the fact of the matter is...
I know, he was a bloodthirsty... No, David was a bloodthirsty ruler, I know that.
Well, that's the interesting thing about David, and I think you would find this very interesting. David was also the singer of sweet songs. He was the one that wrote psalms. He was the one with the harp. David could have had an incredible argument against God. David could have said, "You Yankee, I can't build a temple. I was a shepherd boy. I sang beautiful songs to you in your praises. You yanked me off the streets and made me go fight Goliath. You made me go to this war, and now you say I can't build a temple?" And that's one of the hardest things to appreciate, Michael, is the fact that some of us, as a matter of fact, in Kabbalah, in Jewish mysticism, it said, why did David have to come from Ruth the Moabite? Because he was too soft. He was too sensitive. He was too much of an artist. So he had.
My father used to say that to me. I'm too soft.
Oh.
He used to mentally make me hard every day of my childhood. He said, you're too soft to survive. He used to say, you're too soft for your own good. You'll never survive if you go around with those feelings. You're going to turn into a harder man when I get through with you. But, you know, Rabbi, let me say this. The Bible itself, or Ecclesiastes, I don't know if you consider it part of the Bible.
Absolutely. Kohelis, of course it is. We read it.
Okay, so it is written in Ecclesiastes, for in much wisdom is much vexation, and he that increaseth knowledge increaseth sorrow. So, you know, I'd love to hear that in Hebrew. How do you say that in Hebrew?
And kiba rov chachma rov kas. For the more wisdom you have, the more anger and vexation you have. Kiba rov.
In other words, ignorance is bliss.
Ignorance is bliss. The more you know, the more painful life is.
Right, and that's why we have Obama in office, because the fool walketh in darkness.
He says that, that's right. Axil b'choshech holeich, as it said in Ecclesiastes.
I love it. I love that you can pull the Hebrew out of a hat like that. So, Rabbi, is there no possibility for the ultra-Orthodox to, again, I'll ask the question, to go into their own kosher brigades where such behaviors as is unacceptable to these individuals are not practiced?
I want you to know, I will tell you something. If I was privileged to live in Israel, and I would sign up for the army. I would go into the draft myself. I'm not speaking for myself personally. I am speaking for these rabbis who have a genuine concern. And I got to tell you, 15 years ago in Israel, I saw this beautiful Yiddish maidel, this wonderful girl about 19 years old, soft, sensitive, delicate, Michael, and she was holding an Uzi in her hands. And I don't know, maybe I'm too soft like you, but the fact of the matter is, this is a Yiddish mama. She's got no damn business with a gun. They don't mix, Michael, in my blood. I'm sorry, I have to tell you, in front of your whole audience.
I would disagree with you. I think that every Jewish person after 1945 should learn how to use a weapon. I have the total opposite viewpoint. If the Jewish people didn't learn anything from the Holocaust, they're going to repeat it, God forbid.
I hear you, and I used to write.
And by the way, Rabbi, this is why I detest American Jewish liberals. They get me sick. Their weakness, their coweringness, their willingness to accept the enemy's point of view rather than the point of view of their own survival drives me crazy. And I see it going on in my country, America. It makes me crazy. They understand everyone's point of view except their own.
And every time I listen to you say that on the air, I think back to the time about 30 years ago when I was a chaplain at Fairleigh Dickinson University, the Jewish chaplain, which is the largest physical campus in the New York metro area. And I was told by the somebody in the administration that Arab countries were deliberately funding Arab students to come to Fairleigh Dickinson to try to seduce the Jewish girls and bring them to their point of view. And we had a representative 30 years ago of the PLO who came to speak and to watch Arab boys come in with Jewish girls on their arms. And I, as a member of the administration, couldn't dare say anything, but when I tried, I got booed by Jewish girls. This was the liberal...
That's right. Many of these girls became communists. They became worshippers of the enemy itself. They are today in very high places in this country. Make no mistake about it. They hold the same views today, only they're far more dangerous because they're running the country.
Absolutely.
By the way, yes, the very same mentality that you just described is now in the highest offices in the land, which is why they hate Israel and love Iran.
Yeah. Yeah. And
so, Rabbi, I don't think we've changed, either of us have changed our minds on the subject, nor do I intend to try to change your mind. You're an extremely learned man, and I really appreciate knowledge, because to me, knowledge is the greatest thing on earth. I respect piety, although I myself am the farthest thing from a pious man. I respect those who are. However, there are people who abuse the privilege of their piety, and that's another subject within the subject. And I think this is why so many secular Jews in Israel resent the fact that the ultra-Orthodox won't serve.
Mm-hmm. Well, prayers, the miracle of Israel... Let me tell you, Michael, and I know I'm talking to a person who is PhD educated and uses empirical analytical thinking, but anyone who sits down and tries to realize that we went from Auschwitz to Sharm el Sheikh in 22 years, from 6 million Jews dead and Jews walking like sheep in 22 years, from 1945 to 1967 when an Israeli soldier stood at the top of Sharm el Sheikh. If anybody thinks that was done just by bullets and by guns, if anybody thinks that it was done any other way than by, as the Bible says, lo b'chayo v'lo Bechoach, not with armies and not with strength, Ki'im Baruchinu Hashem, only with my spirit. Don't think it wasn't done with prayers, because there's no way anybody at West Point or the Naval Academy is going to explain to you the miracle of Israel.
All of that is true, but that doesn't deny the military prowess of the early Israelites. Yes, it was a miracle to turn back six armies in 1948. I have studied this in some detail. There's certainly a spiritual element to it. But if it was not for the sacrifice of those early settlers using the very weapons that I think you detest, if they did not use the primitive tanks and the weapons, and in fact there were some Americans who flew the old, I think they flew Spitfires against the Arab armies. They were World War II pilots who flew Spitfires that were given to them, held together by spit and glue. So it was a combination of weapons and spirit. But Rabbi, you raise a very important point. One of the reasons America is dying is because it has a spiritual death. And the reason America needs a spiritual revival in order to come back to life is because the left, the illegitimate left that you mentioned, of the type of women that's Fairleigh Dickinson, who slept with the enemy in order to infiltrate the Jewish people themselves, they are now running America. They have destroyed any remnant or semblance of Christian thought or Jewish thought in this country. The only religion they bend over for is Islam. This is why this country is dying, Rabbi.
Absolutely, Dr. Savage. Absolutely. And
so I see it globally. I see this like an eagle looking down. These leftists have destroyed anyone's desire to worship God in their own way. And this is why we need a religious revival in this country. Never forget that the majority of Americans are Christians, and yet their religion is under attack at every turn by the secularists who detest Christianity, who mock their religion. You turn a television show on, not a second goes by that there's not a laugh line about a Bible-believing Christian in this country. And yet if you look at the Sea of Crosses and military cemeteries, you realize that these degenerate, no-goodniks, worse than a prune seed thrown out of a person's mouth, They don't spare a minute detesting the people who died so they could be as vile as they are every second of their lives, whether it be in Hollywood, which I call the sewer pipe of Hollywood, or on the television screens. It's a nudity of the lowest order that is destroying the country, Rabbi. And with men like you, perhaps we could have a religious revival.
You know, Dr. Savage, just one thing I want to point out. One thing used to break my heart. You know, football players don't have guaranteed contracts. See, a football player can one moment be making a living for his family, and then 2 seconds later, he gets cut because of the fact that he got injured. One of the most poignant things you would ever see on television is at the end of a football game, used to be a few years ago, the players from opposing teams would get together in a circle, and they would sit down and pray and say, "Thank you, good Lord, that you let me get out of this this horrible game that I have to play, so that I have enough money and get a salary to put food on the table for my wife and children." And you know what? Every time that you would sit down and do that, Dr. Savage, the cameras would immediately pan away from it. God forbid they should show that on.
And when the one actor who won an Academy Award, thank God for him winning it, and his Christian parents, they booed him in the audience in Hollywood. The vermin of Hollywood booed the man who just won an Academy Award. He was the only one to thank God for him winning the award. And how many children at colleges want to mention God and can't because of the rats in the universities today who have banned mention of God? They have destroyed God, and in doing so, they destroyed the whole nation. And as I say, if the Jewish people can be a lamp unto the nations and fight for this country for the right to pray and the right to mention God in our universities and in the military, maybe that will give the Christians the courage and the support that they need to do so as well.
Absolutely. Michael, I just got to tell you, as I end my program, sometimes I use the Hebrew word chazak. Chazak means be strong. It's what Moses said to Joshua when he gave. And I say to you, Michael, you say you're a more of a secular man. There's a lot of religion in what you have to say. And my friends in the Orthodox community and out of it see that every day you speak. And I say to you, chazak, Dr. Savage, Dr. Michael Savage, chazak, be strong and give them hell. We love you.
Well, God bless you, and thank you so much for being with me tonight. I think it was one of the greatest interviews I've ever heard or ever done in the history of my radio show, and I hope it lives eternally through the miracle of YouTube or the miracle of a tape. These words that we spoke tonight on radio, if you heard any of them or all of them, will be resonating for years to come. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
I can't say that that will put to rest this discussion of the military and who should serve and should religious be exempted, but I think that you've probably enjoyed it. If you're a person who likes to think, I believe you probably enjoyed that, and you know, I hope you took something away from it. Maybe it changed your mind. Maybe it didn't. Maybe you're entrenched more so than before in your belief system that the religious should serve. I mean, you could make the argument, by the way, that the military needs religious people in order to, let us say, mute some of the secularization. You could argue that they should mix amongst them in order to bring them around to their basic Jewish roots in Israel, that if we had more religious in the military who did not participate in the orgiastic behavior that apparently goes in. It sounds like the Israel military is a lot of fun when they're not fighting. By what I heard from the rabbi, it seems like they're having a party every minute. I don't know. I mean, what was that? It was like a frat house. I don't know what goes on in the barracks over there, but it sounds like a wild frat house, you know, that there are... Don't want their kids to get mixed up in it. Sounds like Harvard University on a high wind. All right, we've had our fun. Now we'll come back to reality. Where's the airplane? Where is the airplane? Who set the fire in San Francisco 2 days after a story broke that some of the biggest pigs in the San Francisco area make over $300,000 a year and they wear fire uniforms? How'd the fire break out 2 days later? I'm not suggesting. I'm just asking, is there a coincidence? Wouldn't be the first time, you know. But anyway, we'll move on. There's other stories out there. I don't think there's a bigger story than the plane. Where is the plane? And if you want to talk more about the Army, I'm going to be here another hour for most of America. I'm only on in 2 hours in some markets, but three in most. I'm not supposed to mention that. I don't know why I can't mention it. Maybe they'll want the third hour, you know, in the ones where they now carry something else. I don't know, whatever. But I'm here. I'm here for you. Obama is pushing for more overtime pay after spending all of the overtime pay that could ever be made in history for all the workers of America in one trip that he's about to take on another junket soon. But he wants you to have overtime pay so you can fly off to another golf venture.
Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, the Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
It is the towhead, Elvis Presley. I was told he dyed his hair black. I didn't know he was blonde as a youth. I had no idea. So look, we're going to move on. We'll take one call on this draft thing, and then we're going to move on. There's so many other topics. McCain to lead delegation to Ukraine. The warmonger can't be stopped. U.S. envoys residence in Moscow empty during Ukraine crisis. Apparently, we have withdrawn our lobbyists from Russia. You know, we don't have ambassadors anymore. We just have paid positions. You buy them. You buy your position under Obama. You know, whatever you want, you buy. You give more, you get a better country. You give less, you get Lithuania. Let's say you don't give a lot. Let's say you only own a chain of bagel bakeries. You want to be an ambassador. You give Obama half a mil. Okay, they send you to Lithuania. If you give $5 million, let's say, above the board and $25 million under the table, you could probably have the Russian ambassador. This one got pulled home. Moscow ambassador, but 2 weeks ago, there's no nominee to replace him. So now they say mega fundraisers are on the list, now the short list. Chicago media mogul Fred Echoner, the biggest contributor to the 2012 campaign with more than $3.5 million to pro-Obama contributors. He's openly homosexual, which would certainly rattle Russia, which would be exactly why they would send them over there. Or he could send Jeffrey Katzenberg of Katzenberg, Katzenberg, Ratzenberg, and Matzenberg fame, the former head of the Walt Disney Studios, who put up more than $3 million to Obama's campaign and related organizations. And so I doubt he'd want to leave his yacht and his interests in L.A. to go to work in Russia. Then there's the last day of Malaysia Airlines, the plane, the missing plane. There's nothing we could say on this issue. I'm just giving you other stories. I've heard all the stories about the phones that you could call, and a worker on a rig said he saw it go down in flames, which sounds like a myth, because if it did, there'd be at least a seat floating, right? A seat bottom would float. There's no explanation for it. If it was blown up in the air, at least there'd be a pair of pajamas floating by now. A Vietnamese fisherman would have found a suitcase. Something. Here's a few more stories. Why a Republican wave in 2014 is looking more likely now. It just happened in Florida. And it showed that Bill Clinton no longer has any drawing power whatsoever. Clinton went to Florida and campaigned for the Demon Cat. And the favorite Demon Cat, Alex Stink, outspent Republicans by a large margin. And Stink even had Obama on his, I'm sorry, even had Clinton come out on his side. And Stink lost anyway. The opponent won. All, and they say it's all over Obamacare, which I guess is what they say on the face of it. I don't know that November will bring out the same results. 855-400-7282 is the phone number. White House touts leadership and handling of crisis in Ukraine despite lack of results. Well, I don't believe he's shown any great leadership in Ukraine. I think in this case, you know what, here's something funny. Because he's such a passive leader with regard to international affairs, it's actually working for the betterment of world peace. It's a strange paradox, isn't it? He is such a weak leader and so focused on his domestic enemies, which he's an expert at, and so, let's say, unable to handle international crises, that it's actually good for the world. Because otherwise, we're liable to have a... No one said a shooting war. We don't need that. You know, like maybe behind the scenes when he came back, he said, whether they took who? Crimea? Let him have Crimea. Who cares? I don't care. Can have Crimea. Crimea River, what do I care? It'll have to do with me. Don't interrupt me. I'm thinking now about the basketball scores. So he wants Crimea, let him have Crimea. I don't know. I don't know how they think behind closed doors there. I think the mother-in-law makes all the decisions. Everywhere they go, Mrs. Robinson's with them. Have you ever heard of a mother-in-law going on Air Force One wherever they go? I never heard of it. Maybe there never was a mother-in-law anyone liked. I mean, that's possible. Maybe she's a good mother-in-law. But wherever they go, the first lady, the first guy, the first man, the first lady, the children, there's the mother-in-law, Mrs. Robinson. She's on every trip. And you're paying for it like a schmendrick. How is that possible? They don't even make a semblance to pay first-class fare on Air Force One. Thou shalt not see thy kid in its mother's milk. Oh, God, don't get me into the Bible. That's actually a good rule. Do you know why the Bible wrote, thou shalt not see thy kid in its mother's milk? Because they didn't want you to kill both the mother and the baby. That's why. They had the brains to not kill the animal if they needed more milk from. Wish we had the brains. I don't know what to make of it all anymore. I know that there's a God in heaven personally, and I personally know that there's a spiritual element to my life. I'm going to talk about it now. I know I wouldn't be in radio today if it was not for a miracle of God. I mean, okay, I'll go into it. I'm not selling you a book cover with a hat on it, a three-parted hat now. I'm not trying to sell you anything. I'm just telling you one from the heart. I know that my career, my career shouldn't have happened to begin with. It was against all odds that I made it 20 years ago over the first hump. That was number one. Then the impediments that were put in my way in the early days of radio by the evil little gray mice at the local radio station, they did everything they could to destroy the show. They turned it off. They put everything possible they tried to destroy the show with. And they didn't succeed. Then all along the way, my enemies tried to stop my career. It didn't happen. And then when I left the last syndicator I had after a vicious two-year battle that cost me a fortune, I still haven't collected a dime owing to the fabulous nature of the American court system. Even though I won, I didn't see a nickel yet because the courts are just so wonderful with regard to justice. Oh, where's the Godfather? Where's Don Carter? Then I left radio. I left radio. I had nothing. You got to believe me. I walked out into the wilderness. I had nothing. You think I had it all lined up, and they were beating my door down. But by the miracle of God, the Red Sea's parted, and here I am with Cumulus now over a year and a half, I can't believe it. It's a year and a half already. A year and 2 months at night, and now 3 months by day, and each day is a miracle. And I have to tell you that it's not by accident. It's not simply because of commercial reasons that I am here and stay here. There's got to be a spiritual element that explains my survival and the fact that I still have the strength and the desire to get up every day and do this show with any degree of passion. I mean, I love this show. I do this show because I love it. It's unheard of that I am still doing it with the level of intensity that I do it, but I do it. And no matter what's wrong physically or whatever in my life, I can overcome it and do this show 2-3 hours a day. I can do the show. That's got to be some spiritual element to that. It has to be. It has to be. That's what I want to say to you. So, you know, it goes back to the last discussion. There, of course, there's a spiritual element to survival of a man, a survival of a family, survival of a nation. Remember the statement that used to be made, those who pray together stay together? Remember that in the 60s, the poor church people tried that? The 80s, whenever it was. Those who pray together stay together. It was a very nice statement, and it tended to knit families together a little bit. When have you last heard that coming from a high place? You haven't. You've heard those who hate God are good people. The world is upside down under this extreme, you call it, I don't even like the word liberal. It has no meaning anymore. These are not liberals running the country anymore. A liberal would say, although I may disagree with you, I'll fight to the death your right to say it. They would say, although I disagree with you, I'd rather see you dead than hear another word come out of your mouth. We have neo-Nazis pretending to be nice people running universities. We have neo-fascists running every branch of this government who pretend to be in favor of the little man and the child. They are just like the worst of the worst. And I'll cut it off at that point before I say something I truly regret. If you care to comment on any of these topics, it means you're more agitated than I am. And the phone number is 855-400-7282. I think before I take your calls, we need a laugh. So let's get the Looney Tunes ready, Neil. And thank God Nancy Pelosi popped up back like a mushroom after the winds. to say that the Republicans told her that they don't like children. They really don't like hungry children. On clip 15, the Looney Tunes Bugs Bunny clip of the day right now.
I asked a Republican friend why his party remained so opposed to extending the vital lifelines for struggling families and really hungry children. This colleague's response was telling in its blunt nature, and it's stunning in its honesty. What he said was to the Republican caucus, these people you're talking about are invisible, and the Republican caucus is indifferent to them.
Wow. Wow, Nancy, that's brilliant. Wow. What, that come in a Chinese fortune cookie on a takeout dish at Pacific Heights? Who wrote that for her? What, did she get a new scriptwriter who's stupider than the last one? That the Republicans hate hungry children. So far as I know, there are no hungry children in America. I thought that the last issue for Nancy Pelosi was fat children. Wait a minute. The first lady says our national problem is obesity, didn't she? So, you know, Nancy Pelosi and the first lady are at odds, because the first lady, although she seemed to enjoy fries and knock down a good burger every once in a while, the first lady says we have a national obesity problem. Nancy Pelosi says we have starving children and Republicans hate them. So I don't know which way to decide. I don't know whether the children are too fat or too skinny. I'll have to decide what the four horsewomen. I think the four horsewomen of the apocalypse better get their stories straight. Think about it. Now we got starving children again in America. I haven't seen one. Everywhere I look, I see children who are like little balloons running around. Little obese balloons from eating the sugary cereals in the morning, the garbage. Then they give them an Adderall pill and send them to the school to be brainwashed to make sure that they get Obamacare for the rest of their lives. All right, let's take some calls. I've had my fun. I have had my fun. You want to do the Israel thing again? I think we did that already. KSFO, Matthew, welcome to the Savage Nation. Matthew, welcome to the Savage Nation from KSFO. Are you there? I guess he's not there. All right. Gone. I hate that. I hate it. That's one of radio's horrible moments. You build it up. You build up the tension. You get ready. You call the name. You press the button. The guy's already gone. He went somewhere else. He called another show. He called NPR with the opposite viewpoint. All right, Ron on the internet. Let's see what this one is. Ron, welcome to the show.
All right, thank you for having me. Can you hear me?
And? Go on.
Yes, I'd like to say in the end time, lawlessness will abound in some of the things that are unfolding in America. I've lived in about four different countries. I saw the Berlin Wall come down when I was living in Germany. I grew up in America, and I am an American, but I don't like the things that's happening right now. There's a lot of things I study in history, but one thing I can't understand, why was there a naval base in California, I believe it was Coronado, California, that was shaped in the essence of a swastika? And they spent $600,000 out of federal government.
Well, my friend, I don't know. I have not been privy to the satellite imagery that you're looking at. I'll have to check out that satellite and see if the Coronado Naval Base looks like a swastika. The last I checked, it looked like a naval base off the city of San Diego. See, this is good. We may do unscreened calls now in order to move on. Let's go to WFTL. I haven't been there in so long, in Fort Lauderdale. Fort Lauderdale, the land of, I always say it, because every time I go down there, I see the same thing. One witness protection restaurant after another. You ride on Federal Highway between Boca Raton and Fort Lauderdale in a season when there's a very low population. There's an Italian restaurant in every empty mall, every strip mall, and it's open for business. There has to be more restaurants on that strip than there are Italian people in all of Florida. I don't understand where the customers come from. Maybe the government, I think maybe the government has the witness protection. They like Italian food. So when they go out to see their clients, you know what I'm saying? They get a nice meal. They drive along Federal Highway, wherever they want to stop. It doesn't matter where. The guy says, maybe back to Washington, I imagine, he says, where can I get a good piece of veal out here? The guy says, anywhere. Wherever you stop, there's going to be an Italian restaurant with good veal. How's that possible? Don't ask the question. Just wherever you stop, I guarantee you'll get a good meal. And wherever you stop, there's a great meal along that highway. And so I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com. It is 25 minutes after the hour. You're listening to the Savage Nation across America, and we just checked. The barracks are in the form of a swastika. The mayor was right. Not the naval base per se, but the barrack housing at the naval base in Coronado are laid out in the form of a swastika. Who knows? Who was the architect? We don't know. Let's go to the callers, 855-400-7282, WFTL. Yitzi, welcome to the program. What's on your mind?
Hi. I heard a lot of people, including the good rabbi that was on earlier, and it seemed to me like they were giving more of excuses and kind of what the problem is with the argument in and of itself. From the Lubavitchers, you mentioned Lubavitch a bunch of times, and I'm one of them, and I just wanted to say the Lubavitcher Rebbe's perspective on this. You can YouTube it afterward. And that is that from the Torah, Jacob set up this system of Zebulun and Yisachar, two of his sons, two of the 12 tribes.
Okay, it's too many words for the Arabic. We spent too much time on it, Yitzi. In plain English, you're a member of a different sect of religious Jews, and you believe that you should serve in the army? Is that it?
I believe that both are integral to Israel's survival, fighting in the army and their...
Well, then why is it that the Lubavitch sect, who are ultra-Orthodox, serve? Do they serve or don't they?
Many do, and many study. That's my point.
Okay, so but it's an option. Yet amongst the Satmar Hasid, the ones with the fur hats, they don't serve at all?
See, the problem there is that there's, number one, politics involved, and number two, misconstrued religion. Some from that group don't even believe about a lot of the things that go on in the politics of Israel in general.
That group doesn't believe Israel should exist at all, and yet they go there. I get it. All right, I think we've covered that topic sufficient for a national audience, and I think I'd like to move on. There's no more to be said about it. There are many other topics we can talk about, and we will do so. Here, Bronx Pharmacy busted in $10 million HIV drug buyback scam. Pharmacists were Ahmed Hamed, Tariq El Sayed, and Mohammed Hassan Ahmed. That's all.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
Savage.
I have to know, what is it like to be the last black president?
Seriously? What's it like for this to be the last time you ever talked to a president?
I don't know. To me, welcome back to the show. When I saw that after hearing it, I thought the president was not acting, but many of you disagree with me, and we don't have to talk about it. I first felt bad for the president for the first time in his entire career, and then I thought that this low-life comedian was a racist for asking the question. And I'm not prone to using that word. I'm very gun-shy to even use the word. But to me, asking a president who's black, what's it like to be the last black president, to me, he should be treated worse than what they did to Mel Gibson, who shouldn't have been ostracized to begin with, incidentally. All right, whatever. We'll move on. There's a lot of topics, and there's still no answer on the plane. You've already, what can you say about it? Nothing. It's wild speculation. No one knows. The planes are falling out of the sky. And Nancy Pelosi has nothing to say other than Republicans want to starve fat children. I mean, that's what it sounded like. She said that Republicans want to starve children who are starving to death, basically. And while the first lady says that the children are fat. So, Nancy, where's the missing airplane, since you know everything about fat and skinny children? Okay. All right, good night was the last message from the missing jet. They said all right and good night. This is getting weirder by the day. What if they never find anything? What if they never find anything? Fear and violence spur a boom in bulletproof gear and armored car industries in Mexico. That makes sense. It makes sense to me. Obama to issue executive order expanding worker overtime eligibility. You hear? Again, another executive order. He has a pen, and he has a stool, and he has a lamp, and he doesn't need that darn Congress. South Carolina House votes to cut funds for universities over gay-themed books. That's the old... South? Save your Confederate money, the South will rise again. South Carolina House votes to cut funds for universities over gay-themed books. Two public universities on Wednesday, retaliation over reading material containing homosexual themes and moved to... They cried a censorship by critics, but called necessary by supporters. It's an interesting discussion. They still have the desire to... The university were basically telling these parents, we don't care if you have a problem with the books that your children are going to have to read. Well, most of it's propaganda. You know that. It's all of the propaganda industry. The College of Charleston's program selects one book a year for the entire campus to read. You hear this? One book a year. So it wasn't Animal Farm. It wasn't one of the great books in history. It was a lesbian's book, Full Home, Fun Home, about the author growing up as a lesbian in rural Pennsylvania. And they make everyone on the campus read that. See, not War and Peace by one of the great Russian authors. No, USC chose another book. Not a great book, not the 100 great books ever written, but Out Loud, the Best of Rainbow Radio. Stories shared on South Carolina's radio station for gays and lesbians. You hear? Now, come on. You know and I know that not only is the literature 10th rate, but that it has no place amongst the great books. That you know for a fact. I don't blame them for saying enough is enough. But you probably say it's censorship. I get it. But when you try to put me out of business, that's not censorship. I get that as well. Okay, whatever goes around comes around, my friend. And everything you've been doing to me and everything that you've been doing to conservatives is going to come around and haunt you when all of you Democrats are thrown out of office first come November and then in 2016. Then you'll see how you like the fact that there's no longer a filibuster permitted because your established party got rid of it. Wait till you see how you scream then. 855-472. What's on the air line here that I have? Comedian disrespect. All right, let's go to KSVO. Mary, welcome to the program. Mary, you're on the air. Go ahead, please. Again, not there. Look, we got to get them ready, you know, if I'm going to call for them, make sure they're alive. I can't have them going in and out of the mental hospital like this when they call. If they're letting them out to make a call, you got to talk to the attendant and say, look, they may have to hold a few minutes till the guy takes them. Harriet on KBET in Las Vegas, line two, you're on the Savage Nation.
Hello, Michael.
Yes, what's on your mind?
An abduction or a wormhole.
Hold it. I'm very tired right now. I'm low blood sugar. What'd you just say?
I said, what about alien abduction or a wormhole? What about...
So you think that illegal aliens took the plane to another dimension?
Yes.
Well, what would they need the people for?
You know.
What, for blood transfusions?
I don't know.
What do they need them for, to play Keno?
They have animal heads on.
They need them to play Keno in a local gambling casino?
No, I don't gamble.
Wait, there's breaking news. Hold it. We got some real news. Stay. Hold on. Here we go. China just reported that a satellite looking into the missing Malaysia flight detects suspected crash area. Boom. A Chinese satellite looking into the mysterious disappearance of Malaysia Airlines Flight 370 observed the suspected crash area at sea. All right? News just came out seconds ago. A Chinese government agency said a potentially pivotal lead in what has been a frustrating search for the Boeing 777. China's State Administration for Science, Tech, and Industry announced the discovery, including the images of what they said. Well, listen, three suspected floating objects and their sizes. The objects aren't small, and they give you the sizes. I'm not going to read them to you. The images were captured on the 9th of March, which was the day after the plane went missing, which is the day after the plane went missing, but weren't released until Wednesday. The Chinese agency gave coordinates of 105.63 east longitude, 6.7 north latitude, which would put it in waters northeast of where it took off in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia, and south of Vietnam. We don't know if this is it. We don't know, but this is definitely something new. It's a dramatic announcement, and it's important to follow this one because we all want to know where the flight went. It's a terrible thing for the families that they lost their relatives, but to not even know where they went, it could drive you crazy. You know, you could live with a plane crash and break your heart, but not knowing where the plane went will break your mind. So we'll still have to keep watching. You heard the news. It just happened seconds ago. Chinese satellite, a China satellite. You can't say Chinese satellite because that produces an ethnicity to the entity of a satellite, which is not a, it's not a Chinese satellite. It's a China satellite. So the CNN got that wrong. See what I'm saying? You can't make, that's like putting a gender onto a satellite, a male satellite or a female satellite. It's not a Chinese satellite. It's a China satellite, a satellite from China. And the reason they have satellites is all because, you know how the Chinese got the ability to launch satellites, don't you? Oh, yeah. They were launching satellites back in the 90s that were crashing and burning. And along came Bernard Schwartz. Oh, yeah. Bernard Schwartz was the single largest donor to the DNC and a good friend of Bill Clinton, mind you. And old Bernie Schwartz owned a company called Loral Space and Technology, a company largely built on taxpayer-funded research. And old Bernie Schwartz gave the Chinese the ability to launch satellites that he had learned through American science and research. And we were told at the time that China will never use the satellites for military reasons. They'll only be launching, benign things such as weather satellites, information transferring satellites, and whatnot. But lo and behold, Bernie lied to us. Lo and behold, the illegitimate, destructive, anti-American Democrat Party is the reason that China and the People's Liberation Army is now beating us in space technology. And that, my friends, is not a fable. No, my friends, that is a true story. That's what I specialize in. I don't put out children's stories on the show. I put out real stories. So that's how they have the satellite. Because of old Bernie Schwartz. He's still around, by the way. Oh, yeah. Oh, he's still around doing very well. Nice suit, nice tie, never did better. Appears at Democrat fundraisers like a distinguished member of the community. Everyone looks up to him. Oh, what a wonderful man. A smart man. He had a technology company. Made a fortune. Made a fortune. Started out with parking meters in the Bronx. And wound up such a rich... And, oh, rubbed shoulders with Bill Clinton. Forget about it. Man like that. Oh, way above you. Ooh. Yeah, a real Shonda to the people. As they used to say in the Bronx. But those were a long day, long time ago. No one knows what I'm even talking about. At this point, I may as well be talking to myself. No, I'm enjoying the show more than ever, but it's a little, 3 hours now. The head is spinning on a low blood sugar job. See, what is, I should have had a Chinese meal before the show. You know why the show was so good yesterday? Because my housekeeper got the meal here at 1 minute to 12 when the show started. A certain, fish wings, scallops. Mongolian scallops. It comes like a plastic thing. It's like a captain's plate of our age. As a child, I used to like to eat off. My mother told me, God rest her soul, that I always was an orderly young boy. I would line up my shoes under my bed. I had 3 pairs of shoes. I'd polish them, line them up. Today, they'd put me on medication for being too clean and too neat and too orderly. They'd say I'm sick because my eyes weren't bug-eyed and I didn't want to kill my neighbor. You know what I'm saying? There must have been something wrong with me. See, if I walked around wanting to kill people, they would have said, I'm perfectly normal, don't touch him. The psychiatrist would have said, no, he's just expressing himself with the drawings and the guns and the paraphernalia. I lined up my shoes, and I like captain's plates. I liked that the meat was in one place, the potatoes were in another, and the peas were in another. It made my food digest. I felt that the food was digest better. So now, there are no captain plates anymore. They're considered ADD if you need one, right? If a child says, feed me on a captain's plate, and that was a smart way to make a dish from a ship that rocked back and forth. That's why I call it a captain's plate. Oh, I always had a nautical identity, I guess, even in those days. I had it in the Bronx where nothing ever moved, cockeyed. It was so landlocked. I always had an affinity for things nautical. Anyway, I liked captain's plates as a child, as I was saying, and now there are none. So if you order a Chinese meal, this guy sends it to you in like a clear plastic captain's plate. The rice is in one place. The scallops are in another. And then there's some garbage in the other. I don't know, coleslaw he chops up from a cabbage that fell off the back of a truck. I ate it at exactly noon between the time the show is connected to the station. And I go on the air, it's like 3 minutes. I devoured the entire meal. My energy was super high for 3 straight hours, but today I didn't want to send her. There was a confused signal. So I've been eating leftovers from the radio refrigerator, and I have low blood sugar as a result. I'm dizzy. I have a 4-day-old chicken. I have a 5-day-old salad. a six-day-old orange juice and a 10-year-old dog. What could be better? Oh, my God. What's in the news right now? I just read what's in the news, didn't I? I told you about the satellite. Let's hope. Let's hope the news produces the wreckage. You know, I mean, hope there's a survivor, but that's ludicrous. You're supposed to say that. Satellite spots Boeing wreckage is the headline. Okay. Satellite looking into missing Malaysia flight detects suspected crash area. Here's more breaking news. The Senate Foreign Relations Committee approves a package, I love the word, of loans and aid for Ukraine. A package. Your money, in other words, they gave away. A package. Everything's a package, yeah. And how much would you like in the package, Senator? Well, I think the package is a little light today. I think your brain is a little light, Senator. The package. They're giving away your money again. Senate Foreign Relations Committee. Who's on the committee? What a group of morons. You got people in this country who could use the money. Ukraine are giving them money. Well, why are we giving money to Ukraine? Let the European Union give them money. They want them. The EU was dying to have Ukraine as part of their sphere of influence, right? So let the Europeans kick up the money. What are we giving them a nickel for? I don't understand this. Shouldn't the EU pony up the money for Ukraine since they need them so badly for the gas and the drilling rights? But you don't see a dime coming out of the Frenchman's pocket, do you? Not a nickel came out of the Frenchie. The little shorty there, that French socialist, that big mouth, he came over here. How come he hasn't put up a dime? Not a franc. Oh, are they cheap? Certain things never change. The French speak, you know, talk the talk, but they don't walk the walk. Frenchie wants them in the EU. Let him put up a dime. Merkel could do something. I didn't see Merkel offering a nickel. No, I think they are giving him some money. This is an addition. No, it's to give me a satellite looking into missing Malaysian flight detects suspected crash area. All right, we'll hear more about it as the show goes on. And tonight, I'm sure you'll hear more about it all night long. That's not, they're going to stop. The girls are having to change their outfits now at Fox News. They just sent out to Macy's for a new Hermes scarf. For this story, are you kidding? Woo. Between that and the gas explosion in New York, are they? Whew, they're busy as heck. You know, if it burns, it earns. If it bleeds, it leads. You know that. Very sad story for the families. You know, there's no survivors from a thing like this. More time. How's it possible? All right, 855. What is this now? 855-407-282 is the phone number. We'll have more breaking news and tales from my youth when I return right here on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
All right, here's the question of the day. We found out that the Chinese are reporting that their satellite picked up the wreckage. They think it is, right? But they've known about it since the day after it happened, and they didn't release it until today, which leads us to only one question, which is why did China withhold us from the world? And the answer is obvious, because it's Muslim terrorism. Chinese and Malaysian officials are playing down the idea that it was terrorism because there's no evidence to support it. But the fact is that the social networks are alive in China now with allegations pointing the finger at Uyghur separatists from the predominantly Muslim province of Xinjiang. Remember last week in China, these Muslim separatists attacked innocent Chinese commuters at a railroad station. They killed 33 people with knives, and they wounded 100 innocent Chinese at a railroad station. Did you hear what I just said? Now a plane is hijacked, and the first thing you think is it's got to be hijacking, and it's got to be the same group. Well, no one knows. But postings on social media platforms in China are rife with things such as, quote, "I'm afraid the incident was launched by Xinjiang people," someone wrote. Another one said, "It is time to investigate Xinjiang and kill those who should be killed." Of the 239 passengers aboard the plane, 154 were Chinese. So you think you know China, huh? Well, why did China withhold this from the world until now? Because they don't want a war on their hands. So that means that the CIA was also informed, and they also withheld it from us. That's my guess. I'll be right back. It's a Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.